Good to see all of you here in church, second Sunday of Lent. And thanks, Albert, for the reading of today's scripture. Winston Churchill is a great figure of modern history. During the difficult days of World War II, England stood alone in opposing the most powerful monster of Adolf Hitler. The British resistance is fortified because of Churchill's steadfast refusal to consider surrender. And one of the greatest assets of Churchill to master his country, to rally them behind him, is Winston Churchill's great speech-making ability. You know, he was once asked, "Doesn't it thrill you to know that every time you make a speech, the hall is packed to overflowing?" Winston Churchill's reply was, "Yes, it's quite flattering. But whenever I feel that way, I always remember that if instead of making a speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big." As accomplished as Winston Churchill was, his humility, recognizing his fallibility, is remarkable. What is humility? Humility is denying our right to boast, even if we deserve it. Denying our right to boast, even if we deserve it. In other words, even though you may have every right to be proud of yourselves, yet, like Churchill, remember to remain humble. And the Bible goes even further regarding humility. Whatever greatness we have achieved is actually never able to exceed how broken we are. Whatever greatness we can ever achieve can never exceed the brokenness that we are. That's why we need God. Thankfully, the Bible tells us that God's heart is for the humble. But humility is not something for us to achieve, you know, as if it's like a meter or a scale that we try to outdo one another in terms of our quantity of humility. So friends, instead of a meter like that, let me smash this meter, if there ever was such a thing as humility meter. Because humility is not about doing or achieving. Humility is about being, that is, yourself. Today's sermon topic is humility. It is not about doing more humble things, as if we are in a race, I am more humble than you. That itself is not humble, is it? But we consider humility from our position in Christ. And that comes from today's scripture, verse 1, our being united with Christ. The picture of this Christ, as Paul in Philippians 2 so eloquently expresses, is a total and holistic picture of humility. Because humility is not about achievement, like achieving more humility. It's about our being in Christ, our being like Christ. So may God's word, according to today's scripture, reveal to us the truth about humility and how we might practice it in our Christian living. Let us pray as we dig into God's word. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we come before you, seeking you because, Lord, we do not know what is humility and we don't know how to be humble. Let your word speak to us and let that perfect humility picture through your word in Philippians 2 illumine our mind and quicken our hearts so that we are willing to submit to you whatever achievement, whatever glory, whatever so-called humility we may think of ourselves. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lent season is a time of Christians remembering Jesus Christ's great sacrifice for sinners, sinners like us. Several themes are common for such a season. For the first Sunday of Lent, the theme, which was last Sunday, was repentance. And to refresh your memory, let me just try to revise or review what we have covered so far. First, repentance is not us focused, but it's about God. It's about turning to God. Secondly, repentance from sin is not license to sin. Rather, repentance is turning ourselves in. And thirdly, repentance is turning anew, a lifelong process of strengthening our relationship with God. And closely related to repentance is humility, today's topic. Because to repent, we have to start by humbly accepting our imperfection. It's admitting our fallibility and submitting to God's sovereignty and lordship to cover over our brokenness. Thus, that's our theme for this second Sunday, having finished with repentance last week. Now, humility is a sobering thought. So sobering that we are not willing to get there very often. Why? Because it makes us uncomfortable. It's against our nature. Our natural tendency is pride, elevating ourselves, beating our chest, you know, to declare how great I am. Now, Winston Churchill may have been a great hero in everyone's eyes, yet he knows deep inside that whatever he should be proud of actually is nothing compared to what he should be humble about. That's why we don't worship Churchill, but Jesus Christ, Son of God. Because Jesus is God, the only person worthy of our worship, praise, and adoration. Why? Because even though Jesus is God, he humbly lowered himself to become man. So low that he is willing to go to the death on the cross. Therefore, as Christ followers, our humility begins with Jesus. And that's today's first point. To be humble, we must know our identity and our belonging. To be humble, we must know our identity and our belonging. In other words, to be humble is to know who we are and whose we are. As children of God, we are created in God's image and destined for eternal security with God. We don't need to try to gain attention regarding that. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but dependent on God. What God thinks of us instead of what others think of us. And furthermore, the Bible assures us that this identity in Christ can never be taken from us. Psalm 56 reminds us we belong to God. And twice in that psalm, verses 4 and 11, reminds us, what can man do to us when we have God on our side? And also, Romans 8:39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Jesus knew his identity and his belonging. So he wasn't bent out of shape when people doubted him to be the promised Messiah. Likewise, Christians like us, we can be humble to take criticism, to accept criticism, and not feel the need to win every argument. You know, for Jesus, even when people flocked to him in amazement, Jesus retreated to the hills to pray instead of basking in people's admiration. So if you are tempted to bask in glory, remember, you didn't earn this identity. It is solely because of God's grace to us, his undeserved gift for us. So don't give pride a chance. Now, this is a picture of the Hall of Diamonds in Galveston Palace. This is a palace in Tehran, Iran, believe it or not. It is one of the most beautiful entrances of all palaces in the world, even today. As one enters the royal palace, the dome ceilings, the side walls, and the columns seem to be covered with diamonds. You know, all this shiny blink. Legend has it that when the royal palace was planned, the architect sent an order to Paris for mirrors to cover the entrance walls. But when the mirrors arrived, they were found to be broken to pieces. So they were going to be thrown away. Then an idea came to see how the broken pieces would look if they fitted them together. The result, as you can see, is not just one mirror, but pieces of mirror, a sparkling sensation like a magnificent diamond bursting forth in a rainbow of colors. That's because of the enormous distortion in the reflections from the broken mirror pieces. Isn't this amazing? When broken, they shine even brighter and more beautiful than when whole. Whether in one piece or in many broken pieces, being united with Christ allows Christians to shine because we know our identity in Christ and we are certain that we belong to Christ. To be humble, we must know our identity in Christ, and it is to Christ that we belong. That's the first point. And the second point, to be humble, we must understand the difference between importance and significance. They sound the same, don't they? Important and significant. Well, let me first of all look at importance. What is importance? Importance is when you get value from things, or things such as the five P's, I would call them, things like pleasure, from power, what I say goes. Nobody can argue with me. If I say it's blue, it's blue. How wonderful it is. Or position, which often comes with the power, and privilege, and popularity. Just because you have privilege, just because you have power, doesn't mean that people like you. So these are the five P's on which we build our personal brand. That's importance. On the other hand, significance is different. Instead of getting value, significance is about giving value. However, it's not giving to things. Rather, significance is giving value to people. In short, significance is making a difference for Christ as we give of ourselves to others. That's what Jesus did. In humility, even though he was God, he lowered himself. Some versions have it, he emptied himself to become man. And not just any man, but a man who takes the sin of the world upon himself at the cross on Calvary. People united with Christ build others up, such as simple things like remembering their names and faces. They teach others rather than hoarding information just all to themselves. They mentor others. They make themselves available, granting accessibility of themselves to others, and also appreciating others. It's a lot of others rather than self. Now, humility is not the absence of the five P's that we saw earlier, but using them for the good of others rather than to self. So importance is using five P's for yourself. Significance is using five P's for others. Significance is not gaining recognition or attention, but accepting the fact that Christian goodness often goes unnoticed. Jesus lived his life for significance. He wasn't going after people's praise or attention. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul tells us, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." By Jesus' death, he defied importance and exemplified significance. So to be humble, we must understand what you're living for. We must understand the difference between importance and significance. There's a story about a bloke named Bob who has just been promoted to become the vice president of the company he worked for. Vice president, a very big deal. And so the promotion went to his head. For weeks on end, in all his conversations with anyone and everyone, somehow he manages to bring up the subject of his promotion to Mr. VP. His wife was getting quite embarrassed about this. So one day, she said to him, "Listen, Bob, it's not that big a deal. These days, everyone's a vice president. Why, they even have a vice president of peanuts down at the supermarket." Wow, Bob heard this, he was deflated. So he was going to get down to the bottom of this. So he rang the local supermarket to find out if that is true, that they have vice presidents for peanuts. So he calls them and says, "Can I speak to the vice president of peanuts, please?" To which the reply came, "Of salted or just regular peanuts?" Wow. Not only just vice president of peanuts, but there's so many different categories. Talk about no big deal. Seems like vice presidents are a dime a dozen. Now, for sure, I don't really know whether they are vice presidents of peanuts or salted or whatever. But as long as we live for titles, as long as we live for importance, as long as we try to grab all these five P's for ourselves, that's the wrong way to go for humility. Because as we live for titles and other such things, humility escapes us. So when you hear this, ask yourself, are you pursuing importance, or are you willing to empty yourself, to humble and pursue significance by making a difference for Christ, by blessing others? And for the third point, let's look at verse 3. Paul warns against conceit in verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." To be humble is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Not thinking less of yourself, meaning putting yourself down, "I'm nothing, I'm useless, I'm worthless." No. But rather, to think less of yourself. When you think less of yourself, what is the alternative? Is to think more of others, right? And that's what Paul is teaching us, not to be conceited. When we are conceited, we are thinking more of ourselves than others. And very often, we're thinking more of ourselves than is right, like that vice president. Someone says, "What is conceit? Do you know what is conceit?" Conceit is, you know, the feeling that you get when a conceited person leaves the room, the room becomes brighter. When a conceited person leaves the room, somehow everybody is happier. That's what conceit is. When a person can only think about themselves. Deserving, yes, sometimes, but sometimes undeserving. That is what Paul is warning us against. It's not to say, oh, I'm useless, I'm worthless, but to think of yourself less. To be humble is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Don't put ourselves down. Don't think less of ourselves. Just think of ourselves less often. Because whenever you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking for others. The world that we live in is obsessed with the slogan, look out for numero uno, that is myself. I, me, myself is always at the center of everything. The rationale, if I don't look out for myself, who else will look out for me, right? So it's dog eat dog world. If you don't eat others, you get eaten. Regretfully, the world doesn't realize when you look out only for yourselves, then you will never have your needs met, because your needs, whenever they get met, instead of being fulfilled and satisfied, the needs actually multiply. But on the other hand, for people united with Christ, we can think of others more, think of ourselves less, because it is putting to practice what Matthew teaches us about faith. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When Christians live for others instead of living for ourselves, we will find that God graciously takes care of our needs beyond our imagination. The Lent season is about making room for God to shed light into our dark corners. And God shows us where and how we can deny ourselves for the sake of God's kingdom and His righteousness, to let us trust God to meet our needs so that we will be free to meet the needs of others. Today's scripture, verse 6, Christ didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. Some versions say something to be exploited, something to be taken advantage of. What are you grasping onto that prevents you from thinking of yourself less than others, less often than others? Whatever is holding on to you, whatever you're trying to grasp onto, are you willing to let that go? To humble is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Less often, that is. And that's the third point for us as we think about learning humility for our lives. And let me close with this story. There's a guy whose name was called Bill. He was a uni student, and as you know, uni students, you know, Bill was a guy with wild hair, wears a t-shirt with holes in it, with tattered jeans, and usually doesn't wear shoes. This was literally his wardrobe for the entire four years, or here in Melbourne will be 3 years in uni. Now one day, Bill decides to visit a church, but instead of welcoming people who were watching him in horror, he walks in with his usual attire, wild hair, torn t-shirt, tattered jeans, and no shoes. The service has already started when Bill arrived, and so Bill starts walking down the central aisle looking for a seat. The church happens to be completely packed that day, so Bill couldn't find a seat. People were starting to look at him and look uncomfortable, but they don't know what to do, and no one says anything. Bill gets closer and closer and closer to the pulpit, to the front, when he realizes, oh dear, there's no seat. So he just plops himself down on the floor. Wow, by now, people were really uptight, because you cannot not see what is happening in front. Tension in the air was so thick, you could cut it with a knife. About this time, an elderly member slowly makes his way towards Bill. This elderly member is a very godly man, elegant, dignified, and proper. As he walks towards Bill, everyone is whispering about this elderly member. You really can't blame him for what he's about to do. How can you expect a man of his age and of his background to understand some unique kid plopped on the floor? It takes a while for this old man to reach the front because he was walking with a cane. So the church is utterly silent except for the clicking of the members' cane. Click, 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 going forward. Not that fast, of course. All eyes were focused on this elderly man. And to their amazement, instead of raising his cane as if to chase Bill away, he just drops it on the floor and sat next to him and worships with him. On the floor, an elderly man, well-respected, well-dressed, proper. Everyone chokes up with emotion. There was not a dry eye in the entire congregation. And when the minister, poor minister, finally gets up to speak, he says, "You know, what I'm about to preach, you will never remember. But what you have just seen, an exercise of humility, you will never forget." And that Bill happens to be a true story. He became a Christian for attending uni because someone was willing to lower himself to Bill's level and worships the wonderful God. Knowing our identity in Christ helps us Christians live for significance. Significance is demonstrated in living for others, even to the extent of humbling and lowering ourselves for others' sake. If you think about it, this really is the good news of Jesus Christ. This really is the gospel. That Christ, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself, even to the point of death at the cross. Therefore, God exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are we ECCSians prepared to lower ourselves so that every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord? Amen.